The real gifts of Christmas aren't under the tree. Epworth Advent, our series for 2019. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts on this first Sunday of Advent prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, it's hard to believe that Christmas is now only 24 days away. I'm never one who can remember what gifts I gave last year, and I'm one who can never remember the gifts I received. Was it socks? Was it a tie? Was it both? I just don't remember. But what I remember last Christmas season, there's something that I won't easily forget. It was really a surprise that swept our city and actually put us in the national spotlight last December. How many of you, when you remember last Christmas season, how many of you remember the Christmas weed? Yeah. The Washington Post actually ran a story about Toledo, Ohio, and this weed on December 9th last year. Ran a story about the weed's origins. Alyssa Emmerich and her family were on their way home from church on December 9th. Last year, when they spotted an unusually tall weed sprouting on a traffic island on the busy intersection of Alexis and Secor Road. When they spotted it, Emmerich, a 20-year-old UT college student, said, "It reminded us of Charlie Brown's Christmas tree." And my dad said, "We should decorate it." So they pulled into that Walgreens right there at that intersection. They sprung into action. They picked up some tinsel. They darted across to that concrete traffic island with that weed sticking up out of the concrete crack, and they threw some tinsel on that forlorn weed, and they headed home. Well, in the days that followed, new photos of the Christmas weed began appearing on Emmerich's Facebook feed. Much to her surprise, passerbyers were inspired, and they added their own decorative touches. Some added ornaments, some added unlit Christmas lights. Somebody had a tree skirt. Someone else actually added a Christmas train for around the Christmas weed. Then, you know, talk about the power of going viral. Just within a few days, a Facebook page dedicated to Toledo's Christmas weed with over 8,000 fans. And along with these pilgrimages to the weed, along with the social media exposure, people began bringing other presents to that little island and the weed. They left presents such as socks, sneakers, scarves, gloves, imperishable food for anybody in need. Emmerich told the Washington Post, "We were mind blown. We just expected people would see it and smile. But in the end, this taller than usual, growing through a concrete creek crack weed put more than a smile on our faces. It gave us a renewed hope, a hope in the creativity of people to see hope in the most unlikely places." Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new church year. And while most of the world this weekend has now dove headlong into the commercial Christmas experience, tramping malls, shopping online, of course, tomorrow, Christmas music now, 24/7, social engagement after social engagement. In contrast to the commercial Christmas that surrounds us at this moment, the church begins her slow, patient, measured walk towards our Christmas celebration, which is to feel so much different than the world's. Advent, by design, is not Christmas. It's countercultural through and through. Many folks, I know in every congregation I've served, many folks who are committed followers of Jesus sometimes in the church struggle with this, one of the most ancient of the church's seasons, Advent. They struggle with this. We're so ready now to see that bright light, that bright star shining. We are so ready now for the entrance of shepherds. We're ready now to hear angelic choruses. Many of us today, if we could choose today's hymns, we would sing Silent Night on December 1st. Yet, like the parent who says to that super excited child, can we just have one gift or two gifts before Christmas? And the parent says, no, all the gifts are reserved for Christmas morning. So it is with the church in her wisdom in establishing this four-week season. Like that parent says to us, no, not yet. We have some work to do. We have some waiting to do before we're ready to receive the fullness of God incarnate, God made flesh, Jesus Christ. So today, on this first Sunday of Advent, we're not given a text that mentions anything about stars. We're not given a text that mentions shepherds or angelic choruses. We are certainly not given a text on Advent 1 that paints a picture of a stately, perfect Christmas tree. No. We're given something to ponder akin to the Christmas weed. A new branch springing from a dead stump. This picture of the fresh, tender branch blooming from a lifeless stump was painted by a Hebrew prophet by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah painted this hopeful picture, the green stem, as he himself rotted away in a prison cell in a city on the verge of collapse. The year is 586 or 585 BC, and Jerusalem at this hour is besieged by the Babylonian army. Jeremiah, unlike the other false prophets who are speaking to the king of Judah, they're saying, peace, 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 don't worry about it. God always shows up at the ninth hour to deliver us. Don't worry, king, God will do what he's done in the past. Jeremiah is the only prophet, or one of the only prophets, who is willing to speak the straight truth. The Babylonian army is not out there by happenstance. That army is here by divine appointment. God, Yahweh, the Lord of Israel, has lost patience with us. Lost patience of our spiritual adultery. Spiritual idolatry. Jeremiah says that God is coming now to judge. And for telling this hard truth, Jeremiah is immediately labeled a traitor. He has betrayed both God and country, and he is thrown in prison. And can you imagine Jeremiah's despair at this hour? He's in prison in a city that is about to collapse, a city that's surrounded by the enemy. Can you see his tears? Can you taste his tears? Jeremiah, known popularly as the weeping prophet, he knows that this nation of his is going to be defeated. He knows that soon and very soon, his family and friends, he himself, they're going to be carted off to Babylon as exiles. Think of modern-day Iraq. And can you imagine his tears? What we might think his tears would be in relationship to God. God is the one who called him to be a prophet. God is the one who gave him the words to say and the courage to say it. And yet now, in this dark cell, where is God? But we do know that in Jeremiah's dark Jerusalem cell, the candle of hope burned. Just as it is illuminated before us today. We know it because it illuminated this prisoner's canvas, metaphorically, as he began to paint this picture of the green branch. though his circumstances were rotten, they were horrific, personally and communally. Jeremiah, by the light of that candle of hope, and the God he knew and called him, he was able to paint this picture, a picture that could be entitled, "Better Days Are Coming." Better days indeed are coming. And in the end, we know that those better days did finally arrive. That green stem grew and it flowered first for Israel. God did bring judgment upon his people in 586 or 585 BC. But that's not the end of the story. God restored his people, returning them to the land of eternal promise. And actually, when they returned from the banks of the Euphrates and Tigris River 40 years later, Israel returned home with a renewed righteousness. The days of spiritual adultery were over finally. And of course, we know that this branch has pointed to better days with the first advent, the birth of Jesus Christ. That branch of hope continues to grow and flower and will one day, at the second advent of Christ, the second coming of Christ, one day that humble green shoot will become that stately cedar where all the nations will find shelter. And finally, all of our longings are realized as the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our God. Jeremiah, amid difficult circumstances, was able to proclaim and believe better days are coming. Jeremiah was able to see the green stem of hope, if only by the candlelight of hope in that cell. And now, how about you? How about you and hope? How are you faring these days? Would you say your hope for the future is strong? Do you believe better days are coming? Or, in a moment of authenticity, do you feel that your hope may be faltering? Someone, no doubt, here today feels so pained, so in the dark, their answer is, "Duck, better days. Are you kidding me? A branch of undying hope? I can only see a weed." No one really knows how dark it is for me right now. Hope, I guess that I'm no Jeremiah. Well, I have good news for you today, my friend. First, hope is not something you muster. Hope doesn't come with a bumper sticker slogan, "Better days are ahead." No. Hope that is real, is always, always a gift to be received. Jeremiah could paint that picture of the branch because Jeremiah himself was the recipient of that divine, beautiful gift of hope. And we know this from Scripture. Jeremiah 29:11, just a few chapters before our text today, this is what Jeremiah heard. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Did you hear hope as being one of God's very best gifts? Someone has a gift for you. A gift you will never find under a commercial Christmas tree. It's the gift of hope. Behold and see, receive this. See this beautiful branch that points truly to better days. As you receive God's gift of hope, and I receive it, we need to understand something about all of God's gifts. When we receive them as gifts, that's great. But every one of God's gifts requires our participation and care. You know, It's like, I remember as a kid, you had under the Christmas tree, you had the A toys and you had the B toys, you know. The A toys were the ones that would still be functional about 6 weeks after Christmas. And the B toys, they were long forgotten. I mean, they had a very short shelf life. That's the same thing with this tender branch of hope. It is a gift. God's willing to give it to you if you're willing to receive it. But it does require us to care and to grow it in our lives. I remember in 1998, I was first appointed as first full-time appointment was associate at Church of the Savior United Methodist in Montgomery, Northeast Cincinnati. And my first week in the office, 27 years old, United Methodist women, they came by the office with a SPAT 5 of them. I'm not a real plant guy. If you're a plant guy, you know what a SPAT 5 of them is. I never knew the name of the plant. It's just really cool. It's big. It's very green. Kind of shiny leaves, and it grows. It continues to grow if you care for it. Actually, many of you know Susan Canwall. Susan Canwall was one of the United Methodist women. Her and her family were members of the Church of the Savior at that time. She was one that brought that plant by the office. Well, I wish I could lie to you this morning, but I can't. I kept that plant alive for 12 years. Which is really a miracle. I never had a plant in my life. 12 long years. I wish I still had it, but I got lazy. But how I kept that plant, that gift that was given to me alive, I had to do some work to not only sustain it, but to grow it over the years. First, I needed to feed it, to nourish it. Hope, the branch of hope that you've been given as a gift, it needs to be fed. How do you feed hope in your heart? Well, let me commend this practice. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to go to the church library to do this. Why don't you simply Google God's promises for me in Scripture? And for the next 23 days between now and Christmas Eve, just one promise a day. That's how you'll continue to nurture and grow hope in your life. And how could you not, when you consider promises such as these, if God be for you, who could stand against you? Or Jesus, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, these promises, they're food, the bread of life, which continues to keep hope alive and growing in our life. You want to keep that branch of hope pointing toward better days? You need to water it. Water it. How do you water hope in your life? Well, it's pretty simple. It's easy to begin wallowing in your own stuff, your own issues, your own anxieties. I understand that. Been there, done that, been in that dark prison, believe me. But if you want to grow hope, you got to water it. And how you water it is getting out of yourself and seeking to tend to the thirst of someone else who needs hope. And that's what's so beautiful about this season. Why, this is prime growing season, Advent and Christmas in the life of the church. You want to step outside of yourself to provide hope for someone else? Can we empty those Christmas trees today out there, providing a gift for someone or a kid or a family who needs hope, or there's heifer and there's other opportunities to serve? That's how you sustain and grow hope in your life. Tending to the thirst of others. That's how you water it. You feed it with the promises of the Word of God. You water it by tending the thirst of others. And then finally, you keep it alive by allowing it to bathe in the sun. Namely, the light of the sun, S-O-N. What do you think sustained Jeremiah all those days and nights in that dark Jerusalem prison? What do you think sustained him? It was prayer. But what about God's people languishing on the balmy banks of the Tigris and Euphrates River 40 years? What sustained them, enabling them to come back and in order from that exile give birth to modern Judaism as we know it today? What sustained them for that journey? Prayer. It's the same for us. When we pray, when we bring it all to Christ, we find ourselves before another sign of hope, a stately and perfect tree, an empty cross that is illuminated by light, light that befalls us. No matter our disappointments, no matter our problems, no matter our fears, that we're willing to relinquish to Jesus. It's replaced by light. The light of his presence. How can hope not grow in that environment? The good news on this first Sunday of Advent is there is a gift for you to open before Christmas. It's not found under any Christmas tree. It's the gift of hope. And that gift has your name on it. And secondly, now part of the Advent journey and the Advent discipline, care well for this good gift that is yours. Feed it by the word, water it by tending the thirst of someone else who needs hope, and pray. Pray during these days as you allow that branch of hope to bask in the light of the sun, S-O-N. And that light, brothers and sisters, that light never disappoints. Amen.